raising her from the dead was inexplicable. And then last week, we looked at the interruption that took 3 months, where the ark was being transferred from Gibeah to Jerusalem. And as the ark was being transported in the wrong way, Uzzah, as the ark stumbled, put forth his hand to steady the ark, and God struck him down. And as a result of that, the ark was at Obed-Edom's for 3 months. And during that time at Obed-Edom's, who was a Korathite, his home was blessed. During that time of blessing, David reflected on what he had done wrong. And then we read in Chronicles then that David, the next time he transported that ark, made sure that the priests were consecrated, that it was the Levites and the Kohites that actually did the transportation, as was required in the law that God set out. And we saw that David's heart was changed as a result of that 3 month interruption. And what I want to look at tonight is a story we're all familiar with. We're all familiar with the healing of the blind man named Bartimaeus. But this trip to Jericho was actually an interruption, because the Lord Jesus Christ is on his way to Jerusalem. This is going to be his final time in Jerusalem. And it's incredible how the Lord is on his way to come to Jerusalem for the last time to prepare for his death. And yet, during this interruption, he actually meets two people. We're going to look at one tonight, and maybe we'll look at the other one next week. And during this interruption, he has an encounter with Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus in the city of Jericho. And it says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Father, we are thankful for this day, for this time together, and for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, we recognize that there are many people in the world today that are blind, that are spiritually blind. Father, we pray that if there's any such people watching this service tonight live, or even if they will stumble across this message at some point, that this opportunity would come their way, that they would receive a spiritual sight, and they would see who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is, and what he is able to offer them in terms of eternal life. So Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. We recognize that this is not just a salvation message, but Father, we pray that as we see through the dedication of Bartimaeus, even when he was told to hold his peace, that we might see that we too, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be dedicated in our walk with thee, that we shouldn't give up at the first hurdle of a prayer not being answered. And Father, I pray that we might see something tonight that would encourage us in our walk with you. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Matthew tells us that there were two blind beggars who met Jesus as he left Jericho. Luke introduces us to one blind beggar, and Mark gives us the beggar's name. Now, it is possible that there were two beggars. We are told that this is blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Well, we know Bar in the scripture. When you see somebody with Bar something, you know when Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonah." Bar, son of Jonah, son of Jonah. Bartholomew. Barabbas was the son. Abba, his father. Barabbas was the son of a father, which is that's another sermon in totality. But Barabbas was the son of Bartimaeus was son of Timaeus. It's possible. I heard one preacher years ago who was an incredible scholar when it came to languages. And I heard him preach a message, and I've never heard this preached this way before. But he said, Timaeus was of a form that from its original root could mean to be blind. So that blind Bartimaeus was actually blind, son of blind. It's possible, I'm not saying that that's exactly what's happened here, but it's possible that the two blind beggars were actually father and son. But some people would say, oh, there's contradictions here, because one says that Bartimaeus was healed on the way in, and then one says Bartimaeus was healed on the way out. But when you put the three accounts together, it's possible that Bartimaeus met Jesus on the way in, followed him through Jericho, and was healed on the way out. So there's no contradiction, but we just have a fuller picture of what took place. Beggars often waited at the roadside. You can imagine, in this day and age, there wasn't much that somebody in Bartimaeus' position could actually do. They would sit on the side of the road on the way into the city so that they could get any help possible in terms of food or money. And oftentimes, they were ignored. They were classed as outcasts, really, even sinful people. If you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ healed a blind man, the question was asked, who sinned? Did this man sin or his parents? So oftentimes they were viewed as people who had even committed some great acts of sin, and therefore God was punishing them as a result. So oftentimes they were ignored. Little did Bartimaeus know, and I'm sure he had the same routine every day. You know, he would wake up early in the morning, wherever that was, wherever he was staying. He would kind of get himself ready. He would tap his way and make his way slowly to his position at the same spot every day at Jericho. But this day was going to be different. And it's interesting, isn't it? What if Bartimaeus just said, what's the point? What's the point in going to my same spot today? You know, I've been sat at this place for X amount of years, and I've just about scraped by, and sometimes, you know, people spit on me, and sometimes people mock me, and sometimes, you know, I can just feel people's judgmental glances, even though I can't see them. I can just feel the way they are towards me. And what's the point? What's the point of me turning up today? But this would be a day that would change Bartimaeus' life. You know, oftentimes we kind of look at this as a salvation message. You know, Jesus is passing by, and, you know, people who are unsaved need to take that opportunity to call unto him while he may. He might not pass by this way again, and he wouldn't pass through Jericho again. And whilst we can see elements of that there, and it is an excellent gospel message in that regard, but it also speaks to us as believers. How many times have we maybe prayed for someone or for something, or and we've been at that point where we've almost given up and said, well, the Lord's just not listening, so I'll stop. But what if that's the day that the Lord's going to pass by? What if we are struggling with something and we think, do you know what, I can't win this battle, I can't get over this difficulty, I can't conquer this particular sin, so what's the point in praying about it? What's the point in bringing this before the Lord? The Lord's not listening, the Lord doesn't hear me, so I'm just going to not bother to go and sit by the wayside today and call to his name. Don't give up, because that's the day that Jesus might very well pass by. Arriving at the gate, Bartimaeus takes his regular place, draws his cloak tightly around him, and just sits there like so many days before. And he recognizes the signs. You know, it's incredible how alert somebody who's blind, how alert their hearing is, and some of the things they can hear. And I'm sure as Bartimaeus gets there first thing in the morning, he hears the day starting. He hears the birds opening in their morning chorus. He hears the market stall starting to open up inside Jericho. And he hears the donkeys being prepared for the day. Maybe he hears the families arising, and the people taking their places in order for the day to start. And he hears the familiar. He hears the sounds that he's heard every single day that he sat at that spot begging. And then there's a different sound There's a sound that Bartimaeus has not heard before. There's a sound of a commotion. What's going on? Is it a fight? Is it a scuffle that's broken out? No. It's not a scuffle, because it's a more cheerful sound than that. But it's a crowd coming closer. And then he hears maybe the pitter-patter of a boy running by and crying out in a loud, excited voice. And his friends come to see what's happening. Bartimaeus suddenly wonders what's going on. We see the passing. It says in verse 47, "And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out." Now in Luke 18 it says, "And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." The beggars informed that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And can you imagine what Bartimaeus felt as he heard this news? As a blind person, as we said earlier, his hearing is acute. Now then, I will say this. There are things that my wife says to me through the course of the day that I don't hear. I think there's a filter. And there's some stuff which, obviously, the way my brain works is like, that's not important, I'll file that. And then there's some stuff that I think, oh, I need to pay attention to that. So it's filed in a different area of my mind. And I don't do it on purpose. I'm not purposely trying to think, right, I'm not going to listen to that today now, because I would never do that. But Bartimaeus heard everything. So can you imagine, as people went from village to village, as people went from city to city, and I think they used to call it the jungle drums, you know, when news wasn't passed down by social media, and news wasn't passed down by telephone or even by telegraph. It was one person running from one village to another village saying, "Guess what happened? Guess what happened up in Nazareth? Guess what happened up in Capernaum? Guess what happened in Bethsaida? Guess what happened in Chorazin? Guess what happened?" And bit by bit, Bartimaeus heard how Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Bartimaeus heard how the lame walked. Bartimaeus heard how the deaf received their hearing. Bartimaeus heard how others received their sight. I wonder if his heart began to beat rapidly as the Lord Jesus Christ began to approach. Jesus wouldn't pass that way again. Bartimaeus was going to seize the opportunity. Now we could stop here and say, yeah, and, you know, that's the same for salvation. You know, Jesus is passing by and he might not pass you again. You know, we sing the song, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." And that is right. Christ may only pass you by one time for you to be able to call out to him for salvation, and he may never pass you away again. This is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. And if you need to be saved, you need to call on him right now before it's too late. But then, for those who know Christ as their Savior, as the Lord Jesus Christ passes by, we have an opportunity to reach out, as we said this morning, to come boldly before the throne of grace. But how many times do we stop short? How many times have you ever said, well, I don't need to bother the Lord with something like that? The amount of times people have said to me, yeah, but that's too petty to bring to the Lord. Nothing is too petty to bring to the Lord. No need of ours is going to catch the Lord by surprise. And no need of ours, as we bring it before the throne of grace, is the Lord going to say, really? I'm not interested in that nonsense. If he knows the hairs of our head, if he knows the thought and intents of our heart, if he was willing to send the most precious thing to him, which was his son, to die on our behalf so that we might have salvation and we might have access to the throne of grace. Don't you think what happens in our life is cared for by our Savior? Jesus is passing us by, as it were. But I wonder how many times we've come to the point where we're like, I just can't pray for this anymore. The Lord's not answering. The Lord doesn't hear it. I can't conquer this particular sin. I can't continue to battle. I can't continue to be in this particular storm. And I don't quite feel like the Lord is helping. And it's at that point we attempted to throw in the towel. Bartimaeus was excited because the Lord is on his way. And he was not going to miss this opportunity. And then we see the plea in verse 47 again. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus cried out for the mercy. The word cry is from a Greek word which means to utter aloud, to cry aloud, to clamor for. Bartimaeus may have been blind, but he saw some things about Jesus and others that have 20/20 vision have never seen. Bartimaeus had come to see that Christ was indeed the Messiah. That's the title he used. Jesus, thou son of David. That was a messianic title. That was a declaration of faith from Bartimaeus' point of view, saying, "I know who you are." Remember, there were many times that Jesus was referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. But that's not what Bartimaeus says. Bartimaeus doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't say Jesus the carpenter. He doesn't say Jesus, son of Mary. He says Jesus, son of David. I know who you are. I know what you've come to do. I know exactly what the scripture says. I know you are the messianic king. And Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Here was a man that was in the dark, yet he had more light than the Pharisees up in Jerusalem. He had more light than the scribes who had access to the scriptures. He had more light than the majority of the nation that would reject Christ as their Messiah. He had more light than the majority of the nation who wanted a conquering king to do away with the bondage of Rome. And yet Bartimaeus saw Christ as one who could do away his bondage of sin. Here was a man who was in the dark, yet had more light in his soul than the vast majority of the nation of Israel at that time. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We see his persistence. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "O Son of David, have mercy on me." As Bartimaeus held out his hands to the Lord and cried to the Lord for mercy, there were those who were leading the procession and were just saying, "Be quiet. Don't bother him. Don't get in the way. Stop making a scene. Stop making a fuss." We're an odd people, the majority of us, because we don't like to make a scene or we don't like to make a fuss. The amount of times I've been out to a restaurant with people who have said, "Oh, this food is disgusting. Oh, it's horrible. It's cold. It's the vegetables are hard. It's not really cooked. It's awful." And then the waiter comes along and says, "Everything okay with the meal? Oh, it's lovely." Joe's slightly different. Joe will make a fuss. But we tend to be people that don't like to make a fuss. It's just, we'd rather everything be okay and quiet. And sometimes we act that way in our Christian lives. Well, I don't really want to bother the Lord. You know, I have asked him about this once. You know, and I get it. If the Lord has answered your prayer and said no, then I understand, we accept that answer and we move on. But there are times when we might be praying about something and we don't feel like the Lord has responded. But do we have that attitude then? We say, "All right, okay, well, I don't want to make a fuss. I don't want to bother the Lord." Maybe we've started witnessing to somebody and the crowd tells us to be quiet. Yeah, well, don't like to cause a scene. But they are the times we should cry out. all the more. Because if somebody's uncomfortable with what we're saying, that's an indication that conviction is doing its job. Bartimaeus didn't quiet down. If anything, he got louder. Because he was poor, blind, and a beggar, he was considered as a nobody, and he was told to be quiet. He was charged. Many charged him. That word charge means to warn forcefully to be quiet. You know, there may come a day when we are warned forcefully to be quiet, to not promote the gospel, to not share Christ, to not tell others of anything to do with the scripture. They charged him, forcefully telling him to be quiet. They rebuked him, which means to chide sharply, to reprove, to censor severely. You know, we are told to censor the gospel today. Not to talk about sin, not to talk about hell, not to talk about judgment, not to be to the point where we make others feel uncomfortable by what we say. But Bartimaeus didn't quiet down. Bartimaeus got louder. It says that he cried all the more. In fact, not just cried the more, he cried the more a great deal. That word cried in this verse is the same word as cry in verse 47, which means to cry aloud, to shout, to scream in an excited way. But he cried even more so, even more than he had done the first time. Maybe it was to cry above the voices of the crowd. Maybe it was to cry just in case the Lord hadn't heard him the first time. Maybe it was to cry just to make sure that he could get through to the Lord so the Lord knew how serious Bartimaeus was in terms of reaching the Lord. The beggar teaches us some important lessons. First of all, he reminds us that some people will hinder us when it comes to seeking the Lord's help. I don't know if you've ever maybe been to somebody for counsel, or you know, you've asked for somebody for advice, and if you ask somebody in the world for advice, they're going to give you worldly advice. Hopefully, if you ask somebody in the church for advice, they're going to give you godly advice. But sometimes, more often than not, those two pieces of advice will be in conflict. And some people will hinder us from seeking the Lord's help. What do you want to do that for? What do you want to go to that book for? What do you want to go to that church for? What do you want to go and do that praying for? Have you ever been excited something about maybe the Lord has done something for you, and you're all excited, and you've come home from a meeting, and you're like, oh my days, I just the word has just spoken to my heart, and oh, I just can't wait now to put this in practice. And no sooner have you left that door there, but somebody is putting you a path that absolutely just takes the wind out of your sails. Sometimes it might even be somebody from within the church. Like, oh. Oftentimes, if somebody's not where they should be with the Lord, they're the ones who try and discourage us the most when we're excited about the things of the Lord. Oftentimes, people will hinder us. Hold your peace. Be quiet. Don't get so excited about things. Why? Because your excitement just simply reveals where I am with the Lord. And I don't like that. Because I'm kind of comfortable where I am with the Lord, but your excitement is kind of exposing my half-heartedness. It's understandable when those in the world hinder us from seeking the Lord, when those in the world kind of want to quench our fire, as it were, but it's a bit disheartening when somebody from within God's family does the same to us. We recognize that the world will distance themselves from those who are seeking Christ. You know, society talks a lot about compassion, the compassion for man and love for fellow man, but when Christ enters the picture, that's when people start to get irritated and hostile. But in spite of any opposition we face, we've got to be persistent. Not only have we got to be consistent, but we've got to be persistent. Because the world is going to tell us to quiet down. The world is going to tell us to mind our business. The world is going to try and put us back in our place. But just be persistent. You know, we can refer this to salvation. When somebody I remember Pastor Ed saying one time that he had preached, one of the churches he was pastoring, and there was a couple that used to sit on the left-hand side towards the back. And he said he would preach week after week after week, and there was a husband there who was being convicted and convicted and convicted. And one Sunday, Pastor Ed gave a call for anybody who wanted to accept the Lord to come forward. That was the Sunday that was going to change this man's life for eternity. And as he stood up, his wife put her hand on his, and he sat straight back down. Pastor Ed said, I never knew if that man ever came to a saving knowledge of Christ. But if he didn't, then his wife affected his eternal destiny. You know, oftentimes, the devil wants to stop us in being persistent, whether it's for salvation. You know, there may be times that the Lord has convicted, if you were watching online and you're unsaved, there may be times the Lord has convicted and you felt, oh, I've got to do this, and the devil comes up alongside you and whispers, but what will your family think? What will your friends think? What will you have to give up? Oh, you won't be able to go there again. You won't be able to do that again. Oh, it won't be any fun. And then you kind of stop. And maybe that conviction will never come again. The beggar wasn't ashamed to seek Christ's help. He knew he needed Christ. I know I need Christ. Because I can't do this on my own. I can't do this walk on my own. I can't run this race on my own. I can't fight this battle on my own. I can't take one step on my own. Why? Because I don't have the strength. So I need him every moment of every day. The beggar wasn't ashamed to seek Christ's help, and neither should we be. We ought to be dedicated in seeking the Lord, regardless of what our friends say, regardless of what our work colleagues say, regardless of even what our family say. We seek the Lord. Jeremiah says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart. And again, we might refer that back to salvation to say, yes, you need to seek the Lord. And if you search for him with all your heart, you'll find him and you'll be saved. But sometimes, even though we have access to the throne of God at every moment of every day, sometimes we feel like our prayers don't get past the ceiling. And that's when we need to be persistent and cry out all the more. And then we see the power. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. Crying out to Jesus, the Lord hears the man, and even over all the shouting and all the commotion, Jesus hears that one voice. Isn't it incredible that every Christian throughout the world, here in Wales, whether it's across in the States, whether it's down in Australia, whether it's in the deepest, darkest jungles of the Amazon or on the plains of Africa, wherever it is, wherever a child of God cries out to him, he hears. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's too much noise going on in any one place, I can't always pick up on everything. Like if, again, I know I've got to get my hearing checked. I know I have. But if like the telly's on in the living room and the washing machine's on or the dishwasher's on in the kitchen and then Joe is trying to talk to me from another room, I can't hear that. And I'm not doing that on purpose, thinking, I can't hear you. I genuinely can't hear that. Sometimes we'd be in a crowded area and Joe suffers with tinnitus, and if we're in a place where there's a lot of noise going on and tinnitus is bad, you can't focus on any one particular conversation. How incredible that with all that noise, and all of that distraction and all of that hubbub of the crowd as they followed Jesus towards Jericho, that he heard Bartimaeus. But Bartimaeus was crying out as loud as he possibly could. If you've got a lot of people making a noise, even with someone shouting, it's not always easy to hear that. But how incredible that Christ hears those that call out to him. Christ hears those who call out to him for salvation. Christ hears those that call unto him in prayer. And we need to realize that that power is available to us right now. The Lord gave the command to have Bartimaeus brought to him, and it says that Bartimaeus cast away his garment. Why? Because he was blind. What if he tripped on that garment on his way to Jesus? You know, oftentimes we say, you know, those who are lost in their sin, they literally need to cast away their pride so they can get to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we are at that point where we don't feel like our prayers are being heard, then one needs to be cast away. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Cast off those garments. You know, there are some garments we need to put on, and there are some garments we need to cast off. We can be as persistent as we want, but if we're not casting off our sin, if we're not casting off that which is hindering our walk with him, how can he continue? He hears us, but he won't answer us. You know, parents do that in some way with their children. You know, when their children ask in a certain way, you know, give me this. And sometimes your parents go, what did you say? Give me this. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. They did hear, but they wait then for it to be asked in the correct way. Oh, please, can I have? You know, sometimes we come boldly before the throne of grace. We've not cast off the garments that are meant to be cast off. We've not cast off that sin that we struggled with just a few hours earlier. And then we've come before the Lord and said, right, Lord, this is what I need. And he's like, but you need to confess your sins. And I'm faithful, I'm just, and I'll forgive you of your sins, and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you've got to confess them first. Bartimaeus cast off his garment so he could get to the Lord unhindered, so his garment wouldn't trip him up on his way to the Lord. And then the Lord said, what do you want me to do for you? Like, really? Surely the Lord could see that, you know, maybe he had some kind of a stick, you know, maybe the eyes were completely glassed over, maybe the eyes were closed, and surely by the way he acted in terms of finding his way to Jesus, that Jesus knew exactly what was the matter with him, but he needed to say it. Jesus says to the lost soul, what do you need? And that lost soul has to say, I need to be saved because I'm lost. I need forgiveness because I'm a sinner. I need the blood to be applied to my life because I'm headed to a Christless hell. They need to admit that. What do you want me to do for you? Christ says the same to us. Okay, child. What is it that you want? Yeah, but Lord, you know what I need. You know where I'm hurt. You know who's hurt me. You know who's done what. You know who said what. You know what I'm struggling with. You know what I'm battling with. You know what I'm facing. You know the thoughts and intents of my heart. You know the hairs of my head. So Lord, you know what I need. I know what you need. But I need you to say it so that you know what you need. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord comes to where we are and meets our needs. And you might be sat here tonight and you're saying, Pastor, you have no idea what I've gone through. You have no idea what I need. You have no idea what I'm struggling with. You are 100% right. But he does. He knows what you need. And he comes to where you are. How incredible that the Lord has an interest in us and says, okay, child, what wilt thou have me to do? How incredible, the sight of Bartimaeus was restored immediately. No surgery, no bandages, no hospitals, no doctor's bills, no waiting time, and no having to go private because of the waiting list on the NHS. None of that, no waiting period. Just immediately received his sight. And here's the thing. Bartimaeus would never have gone blind again. Even as he got towards the end of his life, no cataracts, no dimming of the sight, no need for glasses, because when his sight was healed, it was healed perfectly. It says in verse 52, and Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." The word whole is in the perfect tense. It means that Bartimaeus was made whole, and he stayed whole in terms of his sight for the rest of his life. The word "received" is in a tense that refers to a one-time action that provides lasting results. In other words, Bartimaeus started seeing and never stopped seeing. He just kept on having sight. When Christ saves us, it's not something that happens that we can lose at a point further down the road. I really feel sorry for people who feel that they can lose their salvation, because at what point do you lose it? What sin is big enough to cost you that salvation? You know, there were offerings in the Old Testament for sins of commission and sins of omission, but there were also offerings for sins of ignorance. Because we sin through the day, and we probably have no idea that we've even sinned. Oh yeah, but there should be a conviction. If there was always a conviction in that way, then the Lord would never have provided that type of an offering. There are times that we sin and we probably have no idea that we've done it. So at what point do you lose your salvation? You know, does the Lord sit there? Is the Lamb's Book of Life a chalkboard where the Lord has got this, you know, this eternal eraser that says, "Oh, right, you've sinned, rub his name out. Oh, he's back in, write his name back in. Oh, he's sinned again, rub his name out." That's not what happens. And I feel sorry for the people who literally have no joy in their salvation because they don't know at what point they're going to lose it. That said, salvation is not a bargaining chip for us to sin and live our lives as we please and fly in the face of God and say, "Well, I can't lose it, so who cares?" That's not how it works. When Christ saves us, he doesn't do it for a few days until the saved person sins again. That's what everlasting life means. We don't get everlasting life at the point of death. We get everlasting life from the point of salvation. That's when our everlasting life starts. Imagine the thrill of Bartimaeus' heart as the first person he laid eyes on was the one that he knew so much about. And I just... you know, that always touches my heart when someone goes home to glory, to think that they close their eyes in this life and the first person they see is the Savior. Somebody that they've sung about. Somebody that they've read about. Somebody that they've prayed to. Somebody that they've spoken, his name has been on their lips for years and years and years, and then suddenly, faith is done away to sight, hope is done away to reality, and love is something that will last for eternity. The first person Bartimaeus saw was the Lord Jesus Christ. How incredible that must have been. Bartimaeus was so excited to see the Lord that joy flooded his soul. How incredible for the fact that one day, when we close our eyes in death, his will be the first face we see. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Luke adds a little bit extra, because then we see Bartimaeus' praise. It says in Luke 18:43, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God." Just as Bartimaeus receives his sight immediately, just as our salvation is immediate when we put our trust in the Lord, the beggar followed the Lord and he glorified the Lord. What did he want to do? He wanted to tell everybody what had happened to him. People in Jericho would have known who Bartimaeus was. They passed by him every single day as he was sat by the wayside begging. Imagine people looking at him going, what's different about you? Something's changed. What's different? Maybe he didn't have that glassy, glazed look on his eyes anymore. Maybe his eyes were clear, and for the first time people could see the color of his eyes. He didn't use the stick anymore to try and find his way as he tapped up from his home to the city gates of Jericho. He walked differently. Because no longer did he walk trying to feel his way. He looked different. Can you imagine what he was like? Oh, green. Oh, sand. Oh. Can you imagine how excited he would have been just to see the landscape around him, as barren as it is in that area from Jericho leading up to Jerusalem. But to see the blue sky, to see the sunshine, to see the Jordan River, to see those sights that he's never seen before. He looked different. He acted different. He followed Jesus, glorifying him. Can I say that people should see that in us? They should see that we look different, we act different, we ought to have that joy that is unpurchasable in this world. That joy that's unattainable anywhere else on this planet except through Christ. That peace that passes complete understanding, even when things don't go our way, even when things seem to be falling apart, and the Lord is just granting to us a portion of his peace. He who was considered nothing was used greatly to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a way of using those who are weak to bring glory to him. Bartimaeus was a nobody. Bartimaeus was a beggar. Bartimaeus was somebody who was just ignored on the wayside. But he was important to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. It doesn't matter where you are in your social standing. It doesn't matter what position you have in work. It doesn't matter what you are, where you are in terms of schooling or university or what people think of you. Christ has a purpose for you. You mean the world to him because God gave his world for you. And we can be used of Christ, no matter how small. You might think, well, there's not much I can do. You know, I'm just stuck. You can pray. You can sow seeds exactly where you are. You can reach people that the people sat around you would never have the opportunity to reach. God can use you. God used a blind beggar like Bartimaeus, who was so excited because of what Christ did in his life. And I think we've lost that excitement for what Christ has done for us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we've been made alive in Christ. We were blind. We were blind to what sin was. We were blind to what Scripture was. We were blind to who God was. Our eyes have been opened. We were lost. Without hope. But one day, the shepherd found that sheep that went astray and brought us back into the fold. You know, do you remember that feeling when you were little? When you'd maybe go to wherever it was, Cardiff. I remember being little and, you know, going to CNA in Cardiff. Remember CNA? And in CNA, there was a machine, that like a rocking horse thing on a machine. And I knew that it was there. And every time we went in this, I think you had to go through Sydney to get through to Queen Street or something. I think it was just where Mum and Dad used to park. And I remember the times that I would wander off to go and find that rocking horse thing. And then Mum and Dad would be looking for me. And as soon as I lost sight of them, the fear in my heart, the dread, because I thought, this could be an opportunity, but they could just go home now and leave me here. And then the absolute joy when they came around the corner and you realised that, I was okay. You weren't lost. You would say, we have something far more than that. We were lost. We were without hope. We were of all men most miserable. And then Christ made an eternal difference in our lives. Can I just say this? Follow him. Glorify him. Don't hold your peace. Tell the world what he's done for you. Because he's made an eternal difference in our lives. You know, the crowd said to Bartimaeus, be quiet. What if he had kept quiet? But Christ saw Bartimaeus as an interruption that was worth it. He was headed towards the cross. I recognize that for a long time, the Lord's ministry was headed towards the cross. But this is actually his journey towards Jerusalem. But Bartimaeus was worth the interruption. Can I say this? That you are worth the interruption. Maybe we feel like it's just not any point in praying anymore. And maybe we view prayer as an interruption. Maybe we view prayer as something that just kind of hinders our day because I just want to get on with things. Cry out to him. Follow him. Glorify him. Why? Because he deserves it. Because of all that he's done for us. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight and for this opportunity to come around your word. Would you just continue to speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, and whatever the need is here tonight may it be met, Lord. If there's a burden, may it be lifted. Father, we recognize that there are many people who are struggling with their health. There are many people struggling with bereavement. There are many people who are struggling with battles, trials, tribulations, storms. And Father, we just pray that you would enable us to be persistent. Maybe family have told us to hold our peace because God's not listening to our prayers. Maybe friends have told us that it's just not worth it because nothing is changing. But help us to cry out even more unto the one that gave his life for us. And Father, we recognize that when that prayer is answered, we will glorify you. And we will let people know exactly what it is that you've done for us. So Father, we just pray now that you would continue to have your will and way among your people here tonight. And we'll give you the glory for it. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We'll stand and sing our last hymn together. Amen. In the misty days of... Jesus, Lord, I feel so sick for him.
Without that, he wouldn't have known who was passing. And we do ask you to just bless us as we leave this building tonight, God, and keep us all safe until the next appointed time. In Jesus' precious name, yeah, all these things. Amen. Mm-hmm.